All righty then. Yeah. Last time you stood up was when I retired, so so I don't know how to take it. If you don't know who I am Delbert. I see some faces that I don't recognize, and that's great. That's great. I pastored here for 30-plus years, and you say, well, and this is still my church. And you say, well, if it's your church, why don't I ever see you here? Well, well, I'm here during the week. I still do some stuff, but I'm the online campus pastor for North Star Church out of Panama City, Florida. And so I have four people that work with me, and we host. And from every week, we host from 400 to 435 people every week online. And I've learned a lot about online. You know, I talk to people all over the world. Hawaii, every place you can imagine. We bring souls to Jesus Christ every week, and it's just amazing what you can accomplish online. And so that's what I do on Sundays. Instead of coming to one service, I get to go to four. And on the first week of the month, I get to go to five. So it's not like I'm not going to church. Just wanted you to know that I'm going to plenty of church. So I'm still very, very involved here at LifeGate Church, and I love what I do. I do the graphics and the videos, sermon videos for you and stuff like that. And so I'm heavily involved with LifeGate, and I will always be. LifeGate will always be a part of me, and I'll always be a part of LifeGate Church. Well, it's Father's Day. And the fifth commandment, right in the smack dab in the center of the ten, it says, honor your father and your mother. So that you will live long on the earth that the Lord thy God has given thee. There is a direct connection between your life, how long you live, and your honoring your father and your mother. So Jesus verified that in several places, but in one place was Matthew chapter 15 and verse 4. He says there, doesn't it say, honor your father and your mother? So Jesus made this an eternal truth as well. And then the Apostle Paul rewrote the Old Testament commandment, and he wrote it into the New Testament. And so I want to read that one to you because it's a New Testament truth in which you and I should adhere. So here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. It says, honor your father and mother, not just your mother or not just your father. It's your father and mother. You don't get to pick and choose here. And, you know, sometimes it's difficult because we had a bad one of these and a good one of these. And so it becomes a little difficult sometimes. But he says, make sure you do get them both, which is the first commandment with a promise. And the promise is for us that it may go well with you. One of the first things you need to do when life isn't going well is check out how you're treating your parents. And it might be a good idea to go do something special for them, you know. Get things going in the right direction for yourself. So things will go well with you. And then he says this, and that you may enjoy long life. Not just have a long life, but what? Enjoy your long life on the earth. So again, we see that connection, direct connection with how you treat your parents to how long you live, and that things can go well with you, and you can enjoy life, not just have a life, right? So it's all connected up here. So what we want to do first thing today is make sure we get all this straight. And so what I'm about to do is I'm going to ask all the fathers here in a moment to stand. I'm going to ask you to remain standing because I've got something else I want to do. But I want to honor our LifeGate dads. Without our LifeGate dads, there probably wouldn't be a LifeGate. And so we've always had the greatest dads at LifeGate. I would compare them to other churches that I would go to, and I said, man, we're better than that. You know, our dads are for something. And so what I want you to do, if you're a father, I want you to stand to your feet along with me right now, and we want to give you some love. We want to give you some honor. So stand up. Come on, stand up. Get up with me. All right, let's give them some love. Yeah. Yeah, our LifeGate dads. Yeah, honor you. We like to be honored. We like to be appreciated. We do. Now, remain standing. Remain standing for me just a moment. Now, for the rest of us, we want to get you involved in this, too. If you've ever had at least one dad, and some of us have had more than one, but if you've ever had at least one father, I want you to stand as well. And so we can get things going in the right direction in our life, and we can make sure our days are lengthened, too. Right? Now, what I want to do is you honor your father, and whether you sometimes, some people don't even know their father. Don't even know who he is. Some people had bad fathers. But you're not doing it for them. See, I want you to say you're doing it for you so that things will go well for you and that you'll have a long, enjoyable life. So what I want to do is just, do you honor your, specifically father, mother and father, but honor your, says it's Father's Day. Let's honor our dads. Father, I thank you for my daddy. I do, Father. I had a good daddy. He loved me. He loved my sister. He loved my mother. He took care of me. He provided. I honor him. I honor him. And I thank you for him. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Good deal. Be seated. Be seated. I feel good when I get to do that kind of thing. I just feel good. I go to church in my recliner. So, because getting to come to a real church, you know, it's kind of fun. It's Father's Day, and my title is Adam's Rib. And it's taken from Genesis chapter 2, verse 22, and I want to read that to you. It says this, "Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man." Now, I want everybody to help me here. I want everybody to say on the count of three, "out of the man." Okay? Would you do that with me on the count of three? One, two, three. Out of the man. One more time. Out of the man. Now, what I want you to see here is that something's got to come out of the man if he's going to have the woman he wants. Out of the man, and he brought her to him. God brings your rib back, but not in rib form. Now, over the past several weeks, I did this promo for you, and I ask you, why did God create woman? And I ask you, why did he use a bone? Why did he use one of Adam's bones? Well, the bone is special. It's not just your frame. The bone makes bone marrow, and bone marrow is consisted with red blood cells, white blood cells, and stem cells. To have life, you've got to have red blood cells, white blood cells, and stem cells. So for Eve to live, it required a bone. But the most amazing thing, the most special thing about the rib bone is that the rib bone is the only bone in your body that regenerates. So even though God took Adam's rib, it grew back. But to regenerate life, God used that bone. Now what I'm wanting you to draw from what I just said is this, is that Adam had to give from a special place inside of him. And from that special place inside of him was created a woman, but not only a woman, it was his wife. And not only was it his wife, but from that special place inside of him, that rib, came a wife, but also came his children. From that special place came his posterity, his grandchildren. From that special place inside of him, he became a husband, and he became a father, and he became a grandfather. And so the nuts and bolts of what I'm going to be saying to you today is that, sir, to have what you want in life, an enjoyable life, the wife, home, family you need and you want, there's got something got to come out of you in a special place, from a special place, and you've got to give it. And I'll go ahead and say this, women are created to be receivers. Men are created to be givers, and you will get back. God will bring you back exactly what you give. Okay. Now, Adam was walking around the garden one day, and he was downcast, he was depressed, and he was sad. God looks at him and says, "Adam, what's wrong with you?" Adam says, "I'm alone. I don't have anybody to talk to. I'm lonely." God says, "Well, we can create you a companion, and she'll cook for you. She'll clean for you. She will never disagree with any decision you ever made." Now, you do realize I'm telling you a joke, right? She'll have babies for you, and she'll never ask you to get up in the middle of the night and go check on them. She'll never nag you, and she'll be the very first one when you get into disagreement to say that she was wrong. She'll never have a headache. And she'll always give you love and compassion that you need, but also that you want. But Adam, this woman's going to cost you. Cost me, Adam said. Cost me what? An arm and a leg and an eye and an ear. Adam thought a bit and he said, What can I get for a rib? Now, the truth of that is, this is what we men do. We make a deal with God. And how much can I get if I only give this much? Can I get the woman I want, the marriage I want, the family I want, the grandchildren, the children I want? How much will it really cost me? Can I just get by with this? How much do I have to give? So, I want to tell you, sir, that God will bring back to you exactly what you give. So Adam was staying out late one night. You know, he was out late and a couple nights in a row, and Eve got upset with him and said, Adam, where you been? I just been doing my thing. She said, I'm telling you another joke, by the way. Just make sure you don't think of it. Said, where you been? I just been doing my thing. No, you're not. I know what you've been doing. You've been running around with women. He says, honey, you're being ridiculous. You know, you're the only woman in the world. That's nonsense. You're being unreasonable. And so she would not let it go. She just kept saying that he was running around on her. So finally it got night and they went to bed. And he says, well, I'm glad I'm going to get to sleep. And so he's laying there and he goes to sleep. And he wakes up with Eve poking around on his torso. He says, what are you doing? She says, I'm counting your ribs. I want to make sure there's not another woman out there. You know, I'm counting your ribs. And there's a truth I want to bring from that. You see, men have this fault where we give from that special place inside of us to other things rather than our woman, our children, our posterity. We'll give it to our buddies. We'll give it to our work. Some of us need to count our ribs. Where is that special elements, the elements that God has put inside of you, where are they going? Are they going to your wife, your children, your grandchildren? Going to make you a better husband? Going to make you a better grandfather? Where are they going? Count your ribs. All of this coming out of Adam was used to create his world, his life, his woman, his children, his family, his posterity. Used to create him into being a husband and a father. And sir, I'm going to tell you, the same thing happens with you. See, what's inside of you is what determines if you're going to be a good or a poor father, if you're going to be a good or a poor husband, if you're going to be a good or a poor grandfather, the kind of family that you have. It's all determined by what you're willing to give from your Adam's rib, from the special place inside of you. See, all the material necessary for you to have the life you want, the family you want, the wife you want, the children you want, is inside of you. But you got to give it. Everything about Adam's life, his wife, his children, his family, everything came from a special place inside of him. And it's that way with every single man. You're a giver. And for you to have the life you want, you can't make a deal with God. You got to give it. You got to give it. I don't know how many marriage wedding ceremonies I have done. 30 years of ministry, averaging 2 a year. That's 60 weddings. Some years may have had more, some years less, but probably that's a pretty good average. And, you know, I always comes a place where I stand only a couple of feet from this happy couple. And I'm thinking, there's always a time when I'm thinking, you don't have a clue. You don't know what's just about to happen to you. You know, you don't have, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You see, it's like, you know, there's only so much that that premarital counseling can accomplish. And there's only so much you can get out of a book or out of a seminar. You can go all that. It's like swimming or driving an automobile. You know, people can tell you how to swim, and you can go to conferences on how to swim, or you can go to seminars on how to drive, or read books about how to drive. But until you one day get in that water or get behind that wheel, you don't have a clue. Next Sunday, Judy and I will be married 49 years. Next Sunday. Yeah. And you say, no, but that can't be because you're not 49 years old. And I know she's not, but 39. Well, I know, but we got started early. But 49 years ago, we didn't have a clue. We didn't. And that's a good thing. Because had she had a clue, she wouldn't have married me. I know she wouldn't have. If she had knew then what she would have to tolerate for 49 years. But as tough as marriage has been for me, not for her, but for her, not for me. I've said that wrong. Boy, as tough as it has been for her, and we are so proud and so satisfied and fulfilled by what we have regenerated. We have two amazing children, two wonderful spouses. We have two children who have solid, healthy marriages. And they have produced us a posterity of four fantastic grandsons. And so we have been so blessed in what God has done, even though we didn't have a clue. And as tough as marriage is, even though the two people, the man and the woman, remain in love with each other, it's still tough. And especially tough in today's society. To have a good, solid, lifelong marriage today is the exception, not the rule. And most young people, even some of you here, you don't believe that a lifelong marriage is even possible. But it is. We're living proof. You can have it. See, marriage is holy because God is holy. And marriage comes from God. Being a father is tough. Like Terry said earlier, it's tough being a father. But being a father is holy because being a good father comes from God. And sir, your wife wants you to serve Jesus. And your children want you to serve Jesus. Now, they may not say it that way, but what they want is a righteous father, a righteous daddy, a holy man who lives life righteously and becomes an example for them, is the example in their life that God created you to be. That's what they want to see in you. That's what she wants to see in you. They need that from you, and God's created you to do that. God has a fixation about being a good father. It's extremely interesting to me concerning him that what Jesus said, how we should address God. Of all the names that Jesus could have told us to address God with, like Elohim, El Shaddai, Lord, or Jehovah, and on and on and on. All those names. But what he says the way that God wants you to address him is with the word Father. Father. Above all the other names. And so I want to read that to you. Here's what Jesus said in Luke 11 verse 2. It says, when you pray, say what? Our Father. Don't say Elohim or El Shaddai or Jehovah Jireh or... Don't even say Lord. See, most people when they pray, they say Lord. No, no, no. God wants you to call him Father. See, all the other stuff is wrapped up in a good father. Don't call him Jehovah. He says Father. And he goes on, and I like what he says here. He says, Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. His name in heaven is Father. He's our heavenly Father. His name on earth is Father. He's your earthly Father too. Maybe not your generic Father, you know, but he's here with you on this earth. He's still Father for you. You don't have to die. You go to heaven to have him be your Father. The whole concept of a Father is of God. The whole plan of redemption was nothing but Father God getting his family back. Jesus came, he died on the cross, he shed his blood, he was buried, he was resurrected from the dead, he ascended and went to the heaven and sat on the right hand of the Father God. Also, he could get the family of God back. It was all the plan of redemption, and it's his idea. It's the first Adam, last Adam deal. And in John, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, it says this, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what you are. See, the whole concept of God, the whole idea of God is to be Father. Father is from God. Fathering is holy because being a good father is from God. And you're having a family. You're having children. You're having a wife. You're having a posterity. You're leaving something here that matters. It's God. It's his idea of you're being a father. And when I look at my life and the accomplishments and the successes that I've had, nothing is more fulfilling and more meaningful to me and more satisfying than knowing I was an exceptional father. Not an excellent father or not a perfect father, but an exceptional father. I was the exception to the rule with my children. I didn't father like a lot of other fathers did. I was an excellent father. Now, the key, the secret of being an excellent father is having an excellent rib, an excellent wife, an excellent woman. But it's Father's Day, so I'm going to talk about being a father. And what I want to do in the time that we have left is I want to give you 7 aspects and concepts of what it will require you to be an excellent father. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at number 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 really quickly. But I'm going to spend my time on number 2. And that's the part about Adam's rib. What is the first thing that a man must do if he's going to be an excellent father? Number 1, he must take time and read the owner's manual and apply that to his life. That's number 1. Now, when we have a man toy, when we get a man toy, whether it be a vehicle or a truck or a big screen TV or a motorcycle or a boat or whatever it is, the thing we should do, is because it's so precious to us, is we should sit down with that and read the owner's manual. If we're going to get the fullness of what our toy has to offer us and enjoy it to its max, then we need to spend some time with that owner's manual so we'll enjoy it. Well, being a good father or being a father at fathering comes with an owner's manual. And there's nothing more precious than your family. Nothing more precious than your wife and then your children and then your grandchildren. And to really do it the way it needs to be done, you need to read the owner's manual. And, of course, the owner's manual is the Word of God. And if you will read the Word of God and make that applicable into your life, live by that, apply that to your life, you will be, I promise you, an excellent father. And while I'm on this, let me say this. See, all males, all men will not be fathers. And that's a good thing because all men don't need to be fathers. But the fact is that most men will sire or father a child. But how many of those men will really be excellent fathers? So many fail at this. And the primary reason, the number one reason that any man fails at being an excellent father is they didn't spend the time, they didn't give the time and read that owner's manual and make that applicable into their life. That's number one. Number 2, you got to give your rib. If you're going to be an excellent father, you got to give your rib. So let's learn some principles about Adam and his giving his rib that we can apply to our lives and learn some things from it. So reading in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it says this, "And the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone." It's not. You won't like being alone. It's not good that the man be alone. "I will make a helper suitable for him." Now, hold on to that helper suitable thing. That is big. "I will make him a helper suitable for him." Now, you can take that down just a minute. I want to talk just a second here. You see, where God said this was in the Garden of Eden. Where God said this was in paradise. Paradise. You see, until a man acquires his woman, his helper suitable for him, he's alone and lonely. The solution is a woman, his woman, a woman that's made suitable for him. Even in paradise, and I see a lot of guys trying to create their own paradise. Even in paradise, man was alone and lonely until he acquired his rib, his woman. Now, what he says next here is extremely interesting to me. It's strange somewhat, and I hope I can bring some light to it. But I'll read it, and then I'll explain what I'm talking about. He says, right now, the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man. Now, what we have here is a creature parade. You know, he's parading all these creatures by him. He brought them to the man to see what he, the man, would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was his name. So the man gave names to all the livestock. A lot of emphasis here, a lot of time here. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and to all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. Now, first thing I want us to see is that even in paradise, God gives man something to do. An exceptional father, an exceptional husband is going to work. They're going to provide for their family. God has given them something to do. And I think in the notes I put something like an able body. That's not really what I mean. You don't even have to have an able body to be able. You're able to do something. And you should do it. But the primary thing that I really want to bring out of here is that unless a man finds a helper suitable for him and he acquires that, unless Adam found a helper suitable for him, he would live forever, but be forever lonely and alone. And when God said this, it's not good for man to be alone, I'm going to make him a helper suitable for him. He said this, and then you would think that the next thing he would say is that God made woman. But that's not what happened. The next thing that happened is this creature parade. Why did God do that? What's the point here? What should we grasp from that? Well, what he was doing is teaching Adam to be a lover, to see his need for a lifelong mate. And let me explain it to you. See, here's Adam and all these creatures are coming by. And so here's Mr. and Mrs. Ape. And they are mated for life. And here comes Mr. and Mrs. Wolf. And they're mated for life. I don't know if you knew that or not, but wolves mate for life. Here comes Mr. and Mrs. Eagle. Now another kingdom, a bird kingdom. And this kingdom, Mr. and Mrs. Eagles, they're mated for life. Here comes Mr. and Mrs. Lovebird. And they're mated for life. A lot of birds will mate for life. You'll watch them, and you'll see a male and a female. And here's what was really interesting to me as I got into this and was looking at it and researching it and so forth. In the insect world, Mr. and Mrs. Termite, mate for life. I didn't know that. And here's the one that really got me. Mr. and Mrs. Cockroach. Really? They mate for life. So the next time you stomp on one, you've just taken out a mate for somebody. You just... So Adam is seeing all of this in all the kingdoms. There's this mate thing, and they mate for life. And Adam says, that's what I need. I don't have that. I need a lifelong mate. And so the very next verse is where we see the rib thing, where we see this amazing event about this rib. Let's read it again. Genesis 2:21. So the Lord God caused a man to fall into a deep sleep. Now, I love what Perry Noble said about this. This was the greatest thing. You know, he said, that's not difficult. Give him a meal and a recliner, and that's it. He's in a deep sleep. And I was so thankful that Perry said that, because now my wife knows that I'm not the only one who does this. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with what? With flesh. Now, hold on to that thought of flesh there. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. He brought back what the man gave, what he had taken. He brought back his rib. He brought back, not in rib form, but in woman form. As it were, Father God walked Eve down the aisle as a father would walk his daughter. I got to do that. And I only want to do it one time, Bonnie. Only one time. Lifelong mate. And when any father gives his daughter to another man, he only wants to do it once. It should be a lifelong attachment. And it should be a lifelong thing. So the solution for God, for Adam's loneliness, was a woman. Not a man. And that's all I got to say about that, except not your hunting buddies, or not your fishing buddies, or not your poker buddies, or not your drinking buddies, or not your work buddies. It's your woman. That's your solution. And so God brings her to the man, and he gives her to the man. And he takes from the man, from that special place, the rib, the bone, and the flesh. And he did take flesh because Adam says, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. What does that all mean? Flesh of my flesh. And while I'm saying here, while I'm on that particular verse, let me go ahead and add this. I took it out of your notes. It was in your notes, but I had so much, I had to cut back. But in the notes, you know, what I had was, see, the next thing that Adam's going to say is, for this reason that they become mates for life, a man will leave his father and his mother and will cleave to his wife, to his woman. And then he says this, kind of interesting. He says, leave his father and mother and cleave to his woman. He didn't have a father and mother. Adam didn't have a father and mother like you and I would think of father and mother. So what's he talking about? What I want you to see here is that from creation, God has put into man the base need a man has, the thing that will satisfy a man, the thing that a man needs to understand about himself is that he needs family. He needs his own family. He needs his own mate. He needs his own children. From creation, God has wired us to be that way, and that's what will satisfy you. That's what will keep you from being lonely. He says, flesh and blood. He took the flesh, he closed it up, and the bone, and he created for him. Now, she became his flesh and his blood. She is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. What's he talking about here? What can we see here? Well, for a man to be an exceptional husband, an exceptional father, he needs an exceptional woman. A woman who is a part of him. Let me say it this way. A woman who is his essence. A woman who knows him, knows what he's feeling, knows when he's hurting, knows when he's happy. She understands him. She's the essence of him. She's part of him. She's bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. She's capable of helping him to do what he's incapable of doing. She's capable of helping him be a husband. She will help him be a father. She will help him be a grandfather. She will help the children. She will help the grandchildren. Because she's a suitable helper. And she's going to help him do what he's incapable of doing. Why did God create woman? Because God knew man was incapable of doing life alone. None of us are capable of doing life the way God wants it done without our suitable helpmate, without our Adam's rib. That's number two. You've got to give your rib. And then 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 come from that same aspect. Number three, the third thing that a man must do if he's going to be an exceptional husband, an exceptional father, is he's got to give affection. Affection. It is amazing to me how hard and how difficult it is for a man to tell his own children, I love you. Most fathers never tell their children, I love you. And you say, well, Delbert, I don't have to tell them I love them. They know I love them. No, you're wrong. See, that's got to be something that's coming from a special place inside of you. Words that come from you, that come from a special place inside of you, that assures that child, that assures your wife that you love them. You got to hug your child. You hug your wife. Give her affection. Give them affection. I was listening to a preacher talk about this, and the preacher said, my father never hugged me. That broke my heart. I cannot conceive of a father with his own flesh and blood never saying he loves them, never hugging them. Your children, your wife needs affection. That's number three. Number four, they need your acceptance. It was always really good when my mom accepted me, you know, and all this, but it was something special when Dad accepted me, when he acknowledged me. Never tell your wife or your children you're not smart enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not good enough. Never tell them that. They need acceptance from you. And if they don't excel and do something exceptionally well, at least say, man, you gave it your best shot. I'm proud of you. You that's all I can ask of you, is that you gave it your best. They need your acceptance. So many children today are pushed away and rejected by their fathers. So many wives are rejected by their husbands. They need your acceptance if you're going to be an exceptional husband and you're going to be an exceptional father. Another thing they need is your attention. They need your attention, number five. And when I say attention, I'm not talking just, oh, I say you. No, time. They need your time. The time that's in your special place, your special time. They need to know that you're taking special time and giving it to them. You're spending time with them. And when you're spending time with your wife, sir, what you're doing is you're affirming her. When you're spending time with your children, sir, what you're doing is you're developing their character. You're spending time, you're talking to them. You're developing a character in them. That's number five. Number six, they need your discipline. And I'm not talking about the belt. I'm not talking about the rod only. I am talking about that, but not only. Any form of discipline is for one primary purpose, and that's to form character. See, what you want to give them is a disciplined life. Not only discipline, but a disciplined life. See, you want your children to be exceptional, not the rule. You want them to be exceptional children, not doing what every other kid is out there doing, running around, causing problems, causing you problems. You want them to be exceptional children with a disciplined life. And they need to see you disciplined. They need to see you work. They need to see you serve Jesus. They need to see you praise God. They need to see you give. They need to see you do all the things that a good, holy, righteous man would do. Develop that into them. Give them discipline. Number seven, recognize them. Every time they do something good, your wife or your husband, wife or your children, what you want to do is make sure that you recognize it. You applaud them. Man, you did great. You did great. I'm proud of you. You did so good. You did so well. I am so proud of you. I love to tell my children I'm proud of them. I love to tell my grandchildren I'm so proud of you. Tell them. They need your recognition. They need it from you. There's nobody else recognition comes from and means as much as from the Father. Those seven things, you do those, you're going to be an exceptional father. You take time. You read the owner's manual. You apply that to your life. You give your rib. You give affection. You give acceptance. You give attention. You give discipline. And you give recognition. You're going to be an exceptional father. Little Johnny went to Sunday school, and he comes home, and his dad asks him, "What did you learn in Sunday school, Johnny?" And Johnny says, "Well, we talked about when Jesus went to that wedding, and he turned that water into wine." And his dad scratches his head and says, "What did you learn from that?" He said, "Well, if you're going to have a wedding, make sure Jesus is there." There's a lot of truth. If you're going to have a wedding, make sure Jesus is there. If you're going to have a marriage, make sure Jesus is there. If you're going to have children, make sure Jesus is there. If you're going to be a husband, make sure Jesus is there. If you're going to be a father, make sure Jesus is there. If you're going to have grandchildren, make sure Jesus is there. See, Jesus came. Hanging on that cross, his father put him into a deep sleep. His side was opened. And all the material necessary came out. All the elements that was necessary to create his wife, his bride, his church, came out of him, his blood. John says, "Out gushed blood and water." Well, in that was all the elements necessary to create not only his bride, but his children and his posterity, the family of God, the household of faith, you and me. The first gift that God gave to man was a woman. And, sir, we need to see our woman, our wife, that way. She's a gift from God. And when you find one, when you find a wife, you found a good thing, and you'll have the favor of God. The only thing that Adam took out of a paradise was his woman. The closest thing, sir, that you're going to touch that's like paradise in this life, on this side, is your wife and your children, your grandchildren and your posterity. That's as close to paradise as you're going to get in this life. Little Johnny went back to church next Sunday and had another lesson, and it was about creation. And he was extremely interested in creation and in the creation of Eve. He comes back home again. He's asked again, "Johnny, what did you study in Sunday school?" He's telling him about the creation of Eve. So later that week, Johnny's kind of laying around as though he's in pain. And his mother asked him, said, "Johnny, what's wrong with you? Are you hurting? Are you okay?" He says, "I have a pain in my side. I think I'm going to have a wife." Another point, though. Yeah, it's going to cost you. An arm, a leg, an eye, and an ear, a rib. And it's going to hurt. It's going to give you pain. It's painful to be the father that you need to be, the husband that you need to be, the grandfather that you need to be. You won't want to do it sometimes. But if you do it, if you give what you need to give, and you experience the pain you're going to have to experience, you will touch paradise. You will have an enjoyable life. I want to pray for you. But here's how I'm going to do it. Praise team, be coming, please. I want all the fathers to come down. I want to pray a general prayer over you, but then I want to lay hands on you, praying and hoping God will impart something from me good to you. But also, if you're a wannabe father, one day you want to be an excellent father. You're not yet, but you want to be. I want you to come too. I don't care if you're 3 years old or you're 103. This has no age limit. And I want to pray for you too. I want to pray a general prayer. And then when I'm finished praying with whoever's down here, I'm going to come back up. And I want to lay hands on all the men up here. And I want to pray for them as well. So I want you to come. If you're a father or a wannabe father, then come on. And I don't care how old you are, young you are, I want to pray for you. I want to bless your life. Back up so I can get through here just a little bit. Amen. Be coming. Be coming. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Powerful. Powerful. You want to be an exceptional father. So great in the Father's eyes. Right now, He's smiling. He wants to bless you. Father, I do. I pray for all of these men. And Lord, I ask You to bring forth from within them, from their rib, from their special place. Bring forth them from them, Father God. A desire to take the time, give the time, to read the owner's manual and to apply that to their life. Father, I pray they give from that rib area. They give it all. They work, they supply for their families, they do what men do. They realize that the solution is a woman. I pray, Father, they give affection to their wife, to their children. I pray, Father, they give, Lord God, acceptance. I pray, Father, that they give attention. They give discipline and they give recognition. Father, I ask You now to draw that out. Take it from them, Lord. Put them, as it were, in a deep sleep and take that and bring them back. Their woman. The ability to be a husband. Their helper suitable for them. And I ask You to bless them. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Hey, buddy, bless you. God bless
we
you. Father, I do. I bless
cry
you. In Jesus' name.
The Father, God of wondrous love, we will worship You forever, for You are worthy of all. God of wondrous love, we will worship You forever, for You are worthy of all honor, all glory. Thank you.
God is good.
All the time.
Let me pray over us. Father, I take this moment now and I ask you to bless every single person here. Father, bless us with your goodness. Let us have a great week, a prosperous week. I ask you that you go with us in every single area. Bless our finances. Bless our families. Bless our health. Bless us in every single area and avenue of life. And I ask you to be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. You can be dismissed.